Chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, we'll begin reading with verse 46. I do appreciate the invitation to come and be a part of the services, and good to be back at Pleasant View, good to hear the good singing tonight, to be in the worship service. Count it a great joy and privilege to stand in this place where this dear man of God stands week in, week out. And then other precious preachers have stood, and just yesterday, last night, Brother Raines and I'm honored and humbled to stand in the same place where they've stood. And I do need your prayers. The Lord would help me tonight. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. We'll begin reading there. And we'll read the remaining part of the chapter. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. If you found your place, if you're physically able to, I invite you to stand with us. By standing, we're simply honoring and reverencing the reading of God's Word. If you're physically able to remain standing after we read, we'll pray together. I ask you again humbly and sincerely to pray for us that the Lord would help us. I do appreciate Him giving us traveling mercy and grace as we came up the road today, and thank Him for His blessings on me. Verse 46 says, "And they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good cheer,' or 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Father, we thank you for the privilege to pray tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers and the songs and that's already been done, Lord, in the service tonight. I thank you that we live in a nation we enjoy such freedom to assemble like we are and to worship you, Lord, tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that you have preserved to this generation, the portion you've directed my heart to tonight, the opportunity to stand in this place and preach. I pray for a few moments you'd hide me in the cross. I pray you'd let me lose sight of myself and where I'm at. I pray you'd immerse my mind and my heart and my spirit in the Word of God, in the will of God, and in the ways of God. I pray you'd give us unction and utterance that we can preach, Lord, the message that you won't preach tonight. May the Word of God go forth from these lips in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. May they find lodging in the hearts and lives of those that are here. You know every heart, God. I pray you'd awaken sinners to their need of you. I pray you'd speak to the saints. I pray, God, we can leave here revived, refreshed, and renewed by the means of this service. I pray, Lord, above everything that's accomplished, that your name would get glory and honor from this meeting tonight. Help us now, we pray, for without you, we can do nothing. But, oh, Lord, all you do for us now, we'll thank and we'll praise you. For what we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. Verse 48, when the blind man named Bartimaeus began to cry, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48 said, "Many charged him that he should hold his peace." I want to preach on that tonight. What will happen if we hold our peace? What will happen if we hold our peace? The word here, or the phrase here, "hold your peace," or is, and in this situation, "hold his peace," simply means to refrain from speaking. Don't say anything. Be quiet. Hush up. Good Alabama word, be just shut up. That's what if we was trying to explain it in those terms tonight, that's exactly what they were saying to blind Bartimaeus. We have a world tonight full of people that when it comes to the scriptures, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to things that are relevant to the Spirit of God, they are saying, hold your peace. We live in a nation tonight that's turned upside down. Lester Olof, been dead for numbers of years, but he made this statement years ago, and how much worse could it be today? He said, America is an insane asylum that is run by the inmates. And that is true tonight. And America is turned upside down. Evil is good, good is evil. And it's amazing that you can march and parade down the streets of some of our major cities in a sodomite parade and commit lewd acts, and they will applaud you and brag about it and want you to do it, but then stand on the street corner and preach, and they're ready to throw you in jail. It's amazing. It's amazing. And how the society that we live in today wants us to hold our peace. Then there are those that are religious that want us to hold our peace. I'm amazed at how folks are churchy, my friend, but when it comes to worshiping in an old-time way, they want you to be quiet about it. The preacher shouldn't get too loud. He should speak softly. He shouldn't get excited. Don't anybody, my friend, lift their voice in song or in praise. Just hold your peace. That's what they say. They even say it to the sinner. Don't let the sinner weep and cry at an altar. We've learned a better way for sinners to get saved. We've learned how to sign them in, let them join up, make a decision. But oh, I say, when it comes to sinners weeping, my friend, in the altar, we should not tell them to hold their peace, but cry a little louder, amen, and mourn and weep until God answers their prayer and they feel in their soul they have been converted. Amen. I believe that tonight. Oh, there's a multitude of folk that want us in this day to hold our peace. I want to say to you tonight, thank God it's not a time to hold our peace. There's ever a day we ought to cry aloud and spare not. There's ever a day we ought to lift our voice. If there's ever a time, my friend, that we should be vocal, my friend, that we should, my friend, be stirred about the things of God, it's in this day. Hallelujah. Amen. And if Grandma, thank God, could shout in bygone days, my friend, at the kitchen sink, my friend, dipping out of the flour barrel, amen, and didn't have a lot of material things in this world, and Grandpa could tie up a mule and have a spell in the field, and praise God, surely, in this generation, when God has blessed us beyond measure, we can back our ears and lift our voice and praise God for what he's done in our life tonight. Hallelujah. Hold your peace. There's some things that are, that if we hold our peace, will happen tonight. Three times, and this is not the only time mentioned several times, this phrase, hold your peace, is in the scripture, but I want to mention three times tonight in the text, or in the scriptures and in our text, about holding our peace. What will happen if we hold our peace? First of all, if we hold our peace in petitioning the king, what will happen? In Esther chapter 4, You remember reading that Mordecai and Esther are having a conversation about the decree that's been signed against the Jews. And the conversation goes back and forth, my friend, not directly between Mordecai and Esther,
my friend, but a servant is carrying the message back and forth because Mordecai is on the outside of the king's gate in sackcloth and ashes, and Esther's inside of the palace, and this messenger, this servant, is carrying words back and forth between Esther and Mordecai. For he walked in one day and seen Mordecai out in sackcloth and ashes and told Esther, she sent him back, thank God, with a change of garment so Mordecai could get out of sackcloth and ashes and put on a different garment. Mordecai refused to come out of sackcloth and ashes. And when the servant came back with a garment, Esther said, ask him what it is and why it is. Amen. What's going on? Why is he doing this? Why is he in sackcloth and ashes? Why won't he change and put on a different garment? Oh, to Esther's, my friend, thank God, my friend, to her account, it's sad that she lived in the palace and didn't know what is going on in the kingdom. Amen. Can I say to you that there's a lot of folks today in church but have no idea what's going on. Amen. Thank God, we're so interested, thank God, in our padded pews, our carpeted floors, our sound systems, thank God, we're interested in our building programs, we're interested in getting in some a religious magazine to be mentioned, hey, hallelujah, that we forgot all about what's going on. There's a decree been signed by the enemy against our souls and the souls of our loved ones. Hallelujah. And somebody needs to petition the king to change the decree and to make a difference in what's going on tonight. Amen. And Mordecai asked this woman, this Esther, this is this young girl that he has taken in as his own when she was orphaned, when her mother and daddy died. And he's taken her in and raised her as his own daughter, and now she's the queen. Amen. And he says to her, you need to go in and petition the king. Hallelujah. How to get this decree changed. There's a decree that's been signed, thank God, by wicked Haman. And he said, we as the Jews are going to be destroyed. But there you are in the palace. There you are, the queen. And you're able to petition him. Amen. She said to him, but she said, the king hadn't called me in 40 days. And since he hadn't called me in 40 days, she said, I can't just go in uninvited. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. And he says to her in verse 14 of Esther chapter 4, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time. If you hold your peace and won't go in and petition the king, he said, something's going to happen. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Why are you getting an Old Testament story that happened 1,000 years ago and talking about a woman petitioning a king? I'm trying to make a spiritual application tonight. Hey, whether you've been saved 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 weeks, 50 years, all of us, hey, God, have access to the throne room of God tonight. We can make, hey, God, we can give a petition to the king tonight. Woo! We can pray tonight. Hallelujah. And if somebody don't pray, if somebody don't get a hold of the horns of the altar, if somebody doesn't quit holding their peace when it comes to petitioning the king, hey God, the cause is lost tonight. Yes. Amen. In the midst of all of our preparation, our personalities, our plans, our programs. Amen. We're missing the main ingredient, and that is a people that knows how to pray and touch heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. church I was raised in, I come to realize after I saved and started preaching and the years went by, some of their theology wasn't exactly right like it should be. I hope y'all listen to me the rest of the night, and if I get to preach again, hallelujah. Some of their theology wasn't exactly like it should have been. They missed it here or there. Now, they had the cardinal doctrines down, but they missed it here or there on this and that. Amen. Hallelujah. And they sure wasn't educated. Amen. And I preached, Brother Wales, I preached 2 weeks ago at Barrington over there in Tryon. And there's a fellow there that said, when Pastor Bailey was pastoring here in the 60s, he said, I remember him saying, I'm going to Alabama and preach on Saturday night. And he said, a gang of us went with him. And he said, I never seen such meeting in my life. And it was so. The church I'd raised in had Saturday night meeting back in those days, up until I was grown, I guess, and married. They had the services Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Saturday night. And that Saturday night service, they had people come from Tennessee, Georgia, and then from the home state of Alabama. They'd pack that church out and usually have a visiting preacher sometimes too. And it'd be amazing what God would do in that place. But I'll tell you how, thank God it came about. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, sometimes 30 minutes to an hour before church would start, out behind that little white church, thank God, in the briar thicket and out yonder, thank God, am I praying in the woods, them men and meet and pray and get a hold of God. Woo! And meetings got started a lot of time out there in that prayer place. And before the song leader could ever, hey, God, lift his voice. Hey, God, in the first verse, I've seen them come in out of that prayer place, a shouting and a testifying and a preaching and the power of God. I would fall in that place. I want to tell you today how we've learned how to do this and that and perform and put on. But what we're needing is that all-time power, and it only comes through prayer of the people of God. And we've held our peace too long in petitioning the king, in getting to the throne room and begging God to help us and to do a work in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, Esther, if you hold your peace at this time, I'll tell you what's going to happen. What happens when we hold our peace in petitioning the king? All of us can petition him tonight. What will happen if we hold our peace in petitioning the king? Here's what he said in verse 14. Then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Hallelujah. You and I don't want to be prayer warriors. If you, us preachers, don't want to be used of God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you as individual people don't want to be used of God, if you as a church do not want to be used of God, hallelujah, to bring deliverance, then he'll just walk by and he'll find somebody else. I like Mordecai's faith. He's sitting in sackcloth and ashes. He's got a copy of that wicked decree. It's a death sentence upon him and the Jewish people. And he's sitting there reading it, and he's saying, God's going to deliver. Hallelujah. And he doesn't stop there. He said, not only is God going to deliver us, God's going to give enlargement. Hallelujah. And Esther, you don't have to be the one that petitions the king, but if you hold your peace, God will let somebody else do it. God will arise. God will raise up somebody else. But remember this, you and your father's household will perish. And then there's that famous quote we've preached on a lot of times. And who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You ever wondered why you might be at Pleasant View tonight and be a part of this meeting this week so you could petition the king? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I know that's not as popular and that's not in the limelight like preaching or singing or something else that maybe gets the public eye or attention, but it's what God wants. Hallelujah. And I remember, whatever you want to say about him or that meeting, you can say, you tell me after church, but let me say this. I remember the first time I ever went to Myrtle and met Percy Ray, done had a stroke. And he's on the podium, he's on there. And he was telling who to call on to preach, but he wasn't moderating. But they did ask him to say something. And he got up in that slurred speech from that stroke, and he said, "Well, I may not be able to come to your church and preach no more, but," he said, "I can come and sit on the pew and pray." Hallelujah. And what we need is somebody that's willing again to go to the throne room of the king and petition him and not hold our peace. Hallelujah. It's no glory in praying, shutting yourself off from the world, shutting yourself up to God. It's laborious. Hey God, it's time consuming. It's denying the flesh. But hallelujah, he that seeth in secret shall reward you openly. It's showing up on us how much time we've been in the closet. We can see it openly. Somebody needs to quit holding their peace and petition the king and a change that occurred tonight. Hallelujah. And he said, if you won't petition the king, then deliverance and enlargement will arise from another place. Is anybody still with the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. And then she sent back the message. Verse 15, and she said, "Go gather all the Jews that are in Shushan. Fast for me. Don't eat nor drink for 3 days or nights. I and my maidens will do the same. And at the end of those 3 days, we'll go in. I'll go in and petition the king, though I'm uninvited. And if I perish, I perish." You know, I believe the only effectual praying is going to be the praying that's life and death praying. Night and night praying, just passing by praying is not going to affect or change much. But if you want the petition changed, hallelujah, be willing to lay your life on the line. That's what Esther was willing to do. Amen. We're nearing Easter this week. Lord willing, Sunday be Easter. My grandmother, I probably told you this before, my grandmother married when she was 16. Got saved when she was 15, married when she was 16, married a 28-year-old man. 12 years her senior, wasn't unusual in those days. And they raised a large family. And her husband never got saved, and none of the boys had ever got saved. She had 7 boys and 1 girl. And I suppose the oldest boy is 23, the next oldest is 21. And none of them all the way through had ever got saved. But she is faithful to go to church. They'd go with her. Sometimes grandpa would take her. But he just wouldn't get saved. Matter of fact, he got the nickname Slick because he used to go to church and you couldn't walk down the side of the benches on the next to the wall. The benches was pushed up against the wall. And in those days, they'd at invitation, sometimes folks would come back and try to get folks to come to the altar, and they'd try to do that with him, and he'd usually go out. before they could come, when the invitation started being given, he'd slip up and get up and slip outside. One particular service he was in, he was sitting next to the wall and couldn't get out. And some of them said that night, we've got him boxed in and we'll go to him tonight and surely we'll get him tonight. And but when the invitation was given, he climbed out the window and went out and told the crowd outside, I out-slicked him. And so they called him Slick from then on. They were at a service on a Saturday night before Easter Sunday, and it lasted late. Got way late, as a matter of fact, and Grandpa didn't like it, so he sent one of the boys in. I'd say to Grandmother and his wife, if you want to ride home, you better come now. Not after service, though, we'll come now. Leave now, or you'll walk home. And she came out and got in that car and never said a word. But something burdened her so heavy that night. And she got under such a load that when she got home, she crawled between the covers and said to God, God, I've gone as far as I can. And either you're going to have to save him or move him. Hallelujah. Or do something, and Lord, I'm going to lay here in this bed and die unless you do something. I'm not getting up till you do something. Just to burden her heart. I wouldn't ask you to volunteer to do that, but buddy, that was the burden her heart. It became a life and death situation with her.
Amen.
And so when the morning comes, she didn't get up and make no breakfast. When lunchtime came, dinner time, Easter Sunday, she still hadn't got up. Grandpa's pacing the floor. The boys are wondering, what's the matter with Mama? Hallelujah. And the next, the oldest boy, Bill, 21, thank God, went in and said, Mama, is there anything I can do for you? Something I can get you. She said, Bill, if you know anybody that knows how to pray, go get them and bring them. And Bill was a sinner, but he had confidence in some people in the community. And he picked him up in his car, got about a six, I think, and brought him back. And when he got back, there's a house full of people. Amen. And folks in the yard, they just showed up, thank God, on that Easter Sunday evening. And they got to praying and shouting and testifying and preaching. And Grandpa fell under the load and got born again. Woo! Bill made it to the bedroom where her mama was, and he got to praying to be saved, and he raised up, and Grandma said, how is it, son? How is it, Bill? He said, I ain't ready for sure. She said, I wouldn't quit that quick. I wouldn't quit this soon then. I wouldn't stop now. And I've heard him testify. He said, when I started praying that next time, I come to myself, I was a shouting, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Hallelujah. And Grandma come out of the bed rejoicing and praising God. What happened? She petitioned the king. It got to be life and death. Hallelujah. And she prayed, and heaven heard her prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah. By the way, when Esther prayed, she got the petition changed. She walked in there after 3 days. On the third day, the next chapter 5, verse 1 says, that's how I'm going to go in, and that's how you go in, it's based on the third day. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she went in, and eventually she got the petition changed. Hallelujah. Haman was hanged. Mordecai was promoted. The Jews were delivered. All because Esther was willing to petition the king and not hold her peace. Yes. What about you tonight? Amen. He said, if you hold your peace, then enlargement and deliverance will arise from another place. Hallelujah. Would you look with me tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. What happens if we hold our peace in petitioning the king? Deliverance and enlargement will arise from another place. In Luke chapter 19, we should not hold our peace in praising the king. Luke chapter 19, Jesus is coming down the Mount of Olives. He's riding on a colt. where on never man sat, but they've cast their garments upon the colt. And he's now at the descent of the Mount of Olives. And the Bible said in verse 37 of Luke 19, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. We should not hold our peace in petitioning the King, for if we do, deliverance and enlargement arise from another place. We should not hold our peace in praising the King, or the stones will cry out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm behind praising Him. Hallelujah. Oh, to get off of Complaint Boulevard and get on Thanksgiving Avenue. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, to praise Him. Oh, we ought to praise Him tonight. I mean, from our very soul and heart tonight, these disciples were praising Him. The Bible said they rejoiced and praised God, and they did it with a loud voice. Hey, God, why were they? For all the mighty works that they had seen. Amen. And they said, blessed, hey, God, be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now the gospel said, they cried, Hosanna, which means, oh, save us. They realized that someone great had been among them. Hallelujah. I want to say tonight, we've got a perfect right to praise Him for what He's done in our lives tonight. Oh, we never could praise Him enough just for saving us, just for the fact that our name's written in heaven tonight. Oh, up or down, hey God, sunshine or rain, mountaintop or deep valleys, doesn't make any difference. We're saved tonight. We're eternally saved. We're forgiven tonight. We're blood washed. Hallelujah. Woo! We got a standing right to praise Him because our names are written in the book of life tonight. I say we ought to praise the King. Woo! Hallelujah. All the things that accompany salvation, all the blessings that you and I enjoy tonight, we ought to praise Him. We shouldn't hold our peace when it comes to praising the King. Amen. Oh, the stone will cry out if we hold our peace. Thirdly tonight, back to our text in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. If we hold our peace in petitioning the King, deliverance and enlargement arise from another place. We hold our peace and praise in the King, the stones will cry out. Hallelujah. Some of the commentators I read said Jesus didn't literally mean the stones would cry out. It's a figure of speech. Well, take it however you want to. Amen. But if He's able to, of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Hallelujah. By the way, that praising business is contagious. Grumbling and complaining and backbiting and belly aching, it's contagious too. But that praising's contagious. He's coming from the Mount of Olives, headed into Jerusalem to the gate, through the gate called Beautiful, or the Eastern Gate. And them disciples, hey God, are taking their garments and laying them down in front. They're taking palm branches and laying them down in the street and saying, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. They're praising Him. Are you hearing me? Woo!
And Matthew said, when he gets on down the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem, he goes to the temple. And Matthew said, in the temple, the kids go to praise him. The children go to praise him. He watched mom and daddy praise him as he come out of the Mount of Olives and across the Kidron Valley and through that gate called Beautiful. And when he got to the temple, they said, that's him, hallelujah. That's the one mama shouted about. That's the one daddy praised God about. I believe I'll praise him. Woo! Hey, we ought to praise him tonight. We shouldn't hold our peace when it comes to praising the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Who cares what the devil thinks about it? He ain't the 42nd cousin, no how. We got a perfect right to praise God. Who cares what the world thinks about it? I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I've been blessed. He's done great things for us. Whereof we're glad. We ought to praise him tonight. Please don't hold your peace in petitioning the king. Hallelujah. He said, preacher, I'm in pretty good shape. You're like Esther. You're in the palace and you're in pretty good shape. There's no telling how many Mordecais and other Jews on the outside be coming in this week. That's needing somebody that's real close to the king to go in and say, Lord, unlock their prison, lift their load. And I appreciate the years that I've been here, how you treat folks that come in, because I've been one of them and I know how you've treated me. You're kind, you speak kindly. It looks like you do everything you can to see that our needs are taken care of. Food and water and anything we need. Can I help you, preacher? Can I do this for you, ma'am? Sir, I hear it, I see it. Thank God, I commend you for it. Oh, I'm the greatest thing you could do. Was not to hold your peace and get in the throne room. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, that mama, that daddy, that son, that daughter, that individual that's coming in this week, Lord. Oh, the decrees against him, but would you move in their behalf? Hallelujah. Amen. It might make a difference this week in their life forever if you're willing to petition the king. Don't hold your peace. Hallelujah. And don't hold your peace when it comes to praising him. Hallelujah. In our text, Mark chapter 10, don't hold your peace in making a plea to the king. Here's blind Bartimaeus. Jesus comes to Jericho, passes through Jericho, goes on the other side of Jericho, looks like headed back to Jerusalem. Bartimaeus is sitting there begging. And he hears a commotion and he smells the dust and he hears the voices and the shuffling of feet and he knows something's going on and he says, who's passing by? Somebody said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I've heard about that fella. Hallelujah. I've heard about that fella. And he said, he can heal folks. He's done some great miracles, some mighty works. I sure would like to see, I want to see Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And somebody in the crowd said, hold your peace. Refrain from speaking. Hush up, be quiet. And he thought about it. And momentarily he did hush. Then he thought about Jesus, who he was, and the blindness that he was in, and the fact that this man could cause him to see, and he cried a little louder. Hallelujah. He got a little more vocal. He raised his voice another notch and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Somebody preached on that out of Joshua. The sun stood still in the valley of Ajalon for Joshua. And the sun stood still outside of Jericho for Bartimaeus. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm light of the night. He stood still. Hey God, when I cried for mercy and said, come to me. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. In my idea, it looks like to me, since some of that same crowd told him to hush, right back over and say, tell him to come over here. Tell him I want him to see him. The Bible said he casting away his garment came to Jesus. Amen. And Jesus said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Well, don't you think Jesus already knew? By the way, the Lord never does ask questions to be informed.
Amen.
He don't have to ask any questions. He already knows. And he knows what you need tonight, and he knows what you want tonight, but he wants you to ask him. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. Instead of going his way, the Bible said he received his sight immediately and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. He didn't go his way. He followed Jesus in the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He made a plea for mercy. What would have happened had he held his peace? What would have happened had he listened to that crowd as they charged him to hold his peace? Looks like Jesus never came through Jericho again. Y'all listening to me tonight? While Jesus was passing by, it was important that he cry for mercy. I wonder tonight, while the Lord is passing by, I wonder why we're here in this meeting tonight and the Lord's presence is among us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know he's here, preacher. I felt his presence. Hallelujah. He slowed me down for some reason tonight, but that's fine too. That's his business. I guess he's just sort of passing by slow so you can make a plea tonight. Had Bartimaeus held his peace, there's a possibility. He never had the chance to cry to him. I wonder what these days will hold for some of us that we might not ever have another chance. I wonder what they may hold for somebody tonight. Would you make a plea? Would you make a plea to the King and not hold your peace, but make a plea to the King? What plea you think you ought to make, preacher? Why not make the same one that Bartimaeus made? Have mercy on me. Can I ask this? Is there anybody here that needs mercy? Is there anybody here that wants justice? As of last month, I've been preaching 38 years. Brother Raines, I know you've been preaching beyond that. And here's other men of God sitting in this place tonight. But I don't want to go to him, tell him how much I preached, where all I've preached, and try to get him to give me anything. It won't work. It don't impress him. And I sure don't want to ask for justice tonight. But I tell you what I am need of, mercy. I sure would like to cry around here tonight. Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my home. Have mercy on my family. Have mercy on our church. Have mercy on our country. Have mercy on our children. Does anybody here tonight want to make a plea for mercy? Would you ask him to have mercy on you tonight? Would you ask him to have mercy, hey God, on your family? Would you ask him to have mercy on others that may be coming in this week? Oh, for a plea of mercy, don't hold your peace tonight. Oh, to make a plea for mercy. Bartimaeus made that plea for mercy and didn't hold his peace. Jesus stood still and he received his sight. And I wonder tonight, as the Lord passes by, if you would make a plea for mercy tonight. I remember listening to the preacher in the Hebronese revival. And they called him, he took ship, came to the port, got off the ship, met some of the men from the town of where he was to hold the campaign, and had already been praying for the meeting several weeks, several months. And those men were going to take him to his place to stay that night, and he was to preach the next morning. And as they headed to the place where they were to stay, one of the men said, "Would you like to go by the church where you're going to preach tomorrow and just see it? On your way, it's on your way to the motel." And he said, "Sure," or to the place to stay. And though they went by the little place where he was to preach the next morning, and there was folks in there praying about the meeting, and had been praying for a long time. And they asked him when he got there just to say a word, just a word of encouragement, not to preach, but just to encourage the folks that was praying. And then sort of introduce himself. And he got up behind the pulpit and said a word or two, and the power of God fell in that place. And folk got to seeking God and praying. And he said he'd walked down the aisle as he was exhorting people, and the aisles filled up and the altar filled up and around the pulpit filled up, and he said, "It took me an hour to get back to the pulpit because folks were laying around. I couldn't get over all of them." And he said, "When I finally did get back to the pulpit," he said, "there was a young lady laying behind the pulpit, flat out on the floor, and her and some of her friends had been down to a local tavern that same night and got under such conviction that they come to the church and started praying. And he said, when I got there, she was laying on the floor, and here's what she was praying. 'Oh Lord, is there any mercy for me? Oh Lord, is there any mercy for me?'" Oh, tonight, how can we hold our peace in making a plea to the King for mercy? I don't know about you tonight, but I need mercy. I don't know about your home tonight, but my home needs mercy. My family needs mercy. Our country needs mercy. I wonder tonight, will we make a plea to the King as he passes by to have mercy? Everybody stand, please. Do what you need to do tonight. If you're in this building unsaved, would you make a plea for mercy? Might be your last time. Are you saved tonight? Would you make a plea for mercy? Do you need to petition the King? Do you need to praise the King? Or do you need just simply make a plea for mercy tonight? Not a long prayer. Not a lot of oratory words. But just simply find your place somewhere and say, "Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my children. Have mercy on my parents. Have mercy on my family. Have mercy on my neighbors. Have mercy on my country. Mercy, mercy."
to make a plea for mercy tonight? For your own soul, for those around you tonight, for those that may be coming in. I wonder tonight. Let's don't hold our peace in petitioning the King or praising the King, and let's don't hold our peace in making a plea to the King tonight. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near.